T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Vern used a disturbing word when we talked to him earlier. It wasn't anything to do about his coaches, his high school coaches, big balls. He said tension, tense. What does this team have to be tense about?
At this point in time, I don't know.
There's a fine line because it's not going to be a jovial place to be.
No.
When you're losing. Nobody.
No.
Nobody should be jumping around, because the last thing you want to have happen is too much joking around in a setting where you're like, what are you guys doing here?
And then people get mad because you're joking around.
Yeah. You've been around teams before where you felt like, I'm more pissed than you are. That's a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fine line.
Yeah.
But then if they're really, really tense, you're like, well, why are they tense right now? There shouldn't be any tension at all. They got nothing to play for
I don't want to say it should be relaxed, but it shouldn't be like where you walk into the locker room and you can cut the tension with a knife, right? Like, that should not be what's going on right now with the Kansas City Royals. You shouldn't go in there every day feeling like you're walking on eggshells. And to me, that's kind of a leadership problem right now. If guys are walking in and they feel tense, and it sure seems like Vern has been saying it basically since day one when they didn't start hitting right away, it's kind of been a tense situation. I mean, that to me, that's the leadership of this team. And if it's to the point where guys don't feel like they can be relaxed and just go out there and play, then you have to really start taking a big, hard look around your locker room, but more importantly, your coach's office, and make sure you have the right leader in charge. And if the tenseness is coming from the manager and the way that he carries himself, then maybe you need to make a change at that managerial spot. I don't know personally if that's the case. I'm not in that clubhouse as much as Vern is, but man, the ears really perked up when we heard tense. I mean, you and I kind of looked at each other and went, oh, that's not a good situation. You know, the atmosphere that's created in a workplace really is created from the top on down. People respond to their leaders.
And if there are very few leaders there, or ones that are willing to lead, or...
Mm-hmm.
Then that's a problem too.
Sure it is, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking all your cues from Salvi,
mm-hmm.
and now Salvi's not going to be out for 8 weeks.
Right. So essentially the rest of the year.
Where do you go?
Right.
And then Vern mentioned Whit Merrifield too, and
mm-hmm.
he's obviously ridden the wave of, like he said, he sensed that Whit could really use a change of scenery and he'd flourish.
I agree, and he will.
Whit Merrifield will go somewhere and help somebody in a contender.
Right, and people will sit here and complain, and I understand, because the optics won't be good.
But if it's gotten to that point, then you got to move him too. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. He needs
fresh
to go.
Fresh slate. Find out who your voices are in that clubhouse.
Right. I've said for the last couple of weeks Whit Merrifield needs to go.
I feel like another goal for the remainder of this season is find out who the voices are.
Mm-hmm. Who's your leaders?
You mentioned a few weeks ago needing somebody that could yell, mm-hmm. right? Who's that? I don't know, but they need to find those roles as much as you can yell,
but just have a red ass down there.
And who's going to hold you accountable?
Yeah,
I mean, but that tends to probably be someone that would raise their voice a little bit, right? I think maybe as important as finding out, you know, can so and so develop another pitch, or can somebody battle past the fifth? Mm-hmm. Although Brady Singer did yesterday.
Yeah.
Got himself to the ninth. Yeah. Good job. It's Who are your leaders? Mm-hmm. Who are you going to follow? Who's going to go? I think part of the beauty of that, like that 15 team was you had a bunch of different guys that could push buttons and go a bunch. We know Moose in the dugout, whatever.
Right.
Like Dyson was on people.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't a everyday, you know, it didn't have to come from a everyday, whatever.
Usually it doesn't.
Like Dyson was big with that. You had Hosmer take over more of a role.
I mean, who was that guy that looked like Nivens that yelled at the parade? He kind of took on that role when it was all said and done. It's unbelievable what they did. Gomes, right?
Johnny Gomes.
Yeah. Like he wasn't an everyday guy, you know, but he was kind of that
guy. They had
guy.
different people that could, who's that now? I don't know.
That's
they
the
need
problem.
To find. They need to find that.
Or if it is going to be Bobby and MJ, and they're going to be the leaders
allow
moving
them,
forward, allow them to lead.
To do that. Yeah.
Remove the veterans that are in their way, so to speak. And I think Whit Merrifield, more so than anybody, needs a change of scenery. I mean, you can just see it in Whit. Like, he's not having fun, right? He's not enjoying this right now. You make a lot of money, you play Major League Baseball, you should be enjoying it. But it's clearly wearing on him. He's never been part of a winner. He came here in, what, 16, right? Right after they had won. Never really experienced having the success here in Kansas City. And I think he's getting to the point of his career, too, Josh, where he's in his 30s. And I was like, yeah. I want to win now.
I wanted him around. I wanted him to be part of what. Now that's not, like, I want to root for him for a contender.
Right.
Go. He'll go and play well for a contender, and it'll be like, all right, good job.
And he will.
Go.
And Benny will go out and play well for a contender as well.
Yeah,
but
there's
he,
not
he
as much
to be moved.
There's not much tie for them for him to me. But yes, like similar thing. Like those guys will go on and play well for somebody else, and I'm not gonna sweat it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's time. What are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing here? That's why I've been saying for the last few weeks, trade them all.
I got to figure out what the future has in store.
Well, you have to figure out what the future is going to hold for your team. You have to start developing guys this year and using this year clearly as a developmental season to get the major league experience under their belt. A guy like Whit Merrifield and a guy now that Salvi's on the DL, he's not blocking somebody as much, but Benny and Whit, they're kind of blocking guys right now. Give the opportunity for Vinny Pasquantino to come up. Maybe MJ Melendez moves to the outfield and plays out there a lot more if Whit Merrifield is gone. I mean, there are moves that this organization needs to make. Michael A. Taylor, you know, he could be a nice defensive replacement for a contending team. I mean, he is a damn good center fielder, maybe the best defensive center fielder in all of Major League Baseball with the way that he covers Kauffman Stadium. You would imagine that he would be somebody that other organizations would covet. And you talked about Barlow a lot, too, as a good reliever, and even Brad Keller, you know, as a good starting pitcher. I just look at this team right now and say, this isn't working. Why am I worried about not trading any of these guys? Everybody other than Bobby Witt Jr. and MJ Melendez and probably Daniel Lynch, other than that, you're all available. We're not winning with you. What are we holding on to people for when we're not winning games? Don't have that feeling like, oh, well, we can't trade this guy. My answer is, then why can't you trade that guy? Now, if you're not going to get anything back in return and other teams don't want to be your trade partner, fine. But I think where the Royals sit right now, man, you got to make a ton of moves because, again, the business side of things, you've got to say to your fans, we're changing things up. And if a lot of moves don't happen and you try to bring back the same team, then I hate to say it, but you can't bring back the manager. And I don't think you need to be in the fire the manager mode, but if you're bringing back the same players and the same manager and same coach,
how do you expect any different results?
You're beating your head against the wall. It's a definition of insanity.
I have to hope
the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
I have to hope that everybody's drastically better.
And come on, come on.
I mean, I think there's some growth you can see in plenty of these players, right? But they're still, to me, the most frustrating part, the most damning part of this entire season was, I think they had enough talent.
Yeah.
I don't think they were deficient of talent this year.
Right.
And they haven't shown it.
And they haven't shown it. And then hearing about the tenseness of the clubhouse right now, and it's kind of been there all season long.
Something's not right.
Something's not right. No. I mean, and again, I hate to say it. I'm not a fire the manager guy. I'm not even a fire the pitching coach guy, even though I think optically speaking, you need to do that. But if you're going to bring these players back and you're not going to make wholesale changes from a player standpoint, I just don't know how you sell it to your fans by bringing everybody back to the party. It's going to be different. Why?
How? Yeah, I don't. It's a valid question. I need the remainder of this. And I don't want to do all in August and September because I don't want to fall into that. But they need to determine the direction of where they're going. as an organization here in the next few months.
They got about a month to figure it out.
Yeah.
A month to figure it out. Because August and September, we know how those months are. Oh, they're playing so great in September. When is that ever carried over? Yeah. Except from 13 to 14. Even that didn't carry over. They stunk in the first half of 14.
Only thing carried over was 14 to 15 because they were mad.
Because they were mad. Other than that.
That was it. I don't know how you carry over a couple of good months with a losing record into the next season.
You can't. September baseball and March baseball doesn't matter. Yeah. It's irrelevant.
I think we found Sky Moore's Billy Coons.
We did?
I think so. We have Sky Moore's biggest fan. CBS Sports' Chris Trapasso was writing an article about rookie wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And wrote this about Sky Moore. Moore's skill set is too dazzling for him not to take off in Kansas City's creatively potent attack. He dusts press coverage at the line, runs violently sharp routes, tracks it like a power forward on the outside, and is a smaller version of Deebo Samuel when it comes to bouncing off of tacklers. Moore will be an instant star. End quote.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Like Sky Moore should be sending this dude like a signed jersey.
Yeah.
Like he's the banner carrier for the Sky Moore fan club. Oh my gosh.
How good is
if
that?
If he did all of those things, this offense sky's the limit. No pun intended.
They can't get any more better.
No, they can't. You couldn't expect more out of this. The sky is the limit.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm looking for. You can't expect any more. The sky's the limit.
Yeah, yeah. If he gives you that, whew.
What kind of corny antidotes is Nance going to have for this one, right?
I feel like if he gives you 500 yards and four touchdowns, they're probably good. I just don't know how.
He's going to the sky for more touchdowns.
If he does this, he has really cracked the pecking order in a much sharper vein than I think he's going to.
If he does half of this, we're all going to be enjoying life.
Yeah.
I mean, that must be his agent who wrote that.
No,
or his mom.
I don't know.
Or his dad.
His skill set's too dazzling something. For him not to take off.
Like his kindergarten teacher wrote that right up? I mean, that's just, I really don't have much to add.
If he crawls up the pecking order, I'd still be surprised. I mean, you got a lot of people trying to catch passes.
Mm-hmm. But if he crawls up the pecking order and becomes that guy, we're in a really good spot.
This offense is in a really good
spot.
I'm
not just talking this year. I'm talking.
Well, no, because you're still playing.
Moving forward.
We're still playing beyond next season because there's a couple of pieces in this offense that I'm playing on one-year things right now, right?
Yeah, sure.
At wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS, probably.
No, MVS there, but Hardman.
Hardman.
Hardman and Juju. I'm playing like this is their final year.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to be forward-thinking on this. And if Sky Moore is ready to take off, in year one, you're going to feel really good about it.
If Sky Moore can be Tyreek Hill before he was complaining about everything, and MVS can be Sammy Watkins, I'm good. I'm good with that. Be that reliable receiver that's there on third down, boom. That's your Sammy Watkins. If that can be MVS or Juju Smith-Schuster and Sky Moore can be what they had in Tyreek Hill, great. I'm not asking for that, but if that's the way it plays out, great. Well, no, fairly soon, though. For the first month of the season, what to kind of expect out of Sky Moore. Man. If he takes off from game one and has that impact, like if he has a Kareem Hunt type of performance in game one, like Kareem did against the Patriots that year in his rookie year, oh, look out, baby. Let's go.
The question keeps getting asked, but I don't see there to be a need for one for the Chiefs. I'll explain next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. 610 Sports Radio, your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City.
We were talking about Sky Moore in the last segment. Brings me to an article posted at Yard Barker, which discusses one unanswered question for every NFL team. And I know you've gotten this question. I know I have gotten this question. Well, who do you think is going to be the number one receiver for the Chiefs? And my answer is always the same. I don't know. And I don't care. I don't find it that if you have the depth in which they have And I think the talent which they have, and you have, still have Travis Kelce, I would lean on Travis Kelce as their number one pass catcher. And I don't really need any more of that. If Sky Moore turns into being the superstar that guy from CBS claimed he was going to be,
fine.
If Juju has a revitalized season, fine. If MVS turns into something more than he was in Green Bay, fine. Mecole Hardman has the breakout, fine. I guess I don't care. I don't care who the number one wide receiver is for the Chiefs. I think they have quality quantity, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. I never care about that kind of stuff. And I think a big part of the reason why I don't care is because I'm not a fantasy football guy. It doesn't matter to me what kind of numbers and stats these guys put up, because it doesn't have an effect on my fantasy football league team. I look at it from a Chiefs standpoint. I have enough time keeping up with the Chiefs, let alone keeping up with the fantasy team. I'm like, am I supposed to root against the Chiefs now because I got a player? You know, so I think like this world has changed so much for what we expect and what expectations should be for athletes because of fantasy football. And fantasy football has been great for the NFL. I was talking to somebody the other day about this league, and we were just kind of discussing where it's gone and left everybody else in its dust. And I'm like, yeah, with fantasy football now, gambling and all this stuff, you know, people are into the National Football League. So however you're into it, it is great. But the way that I view the NFL is completely different from the way that, like, Paul Charchian views the NFL, right? He views it from a statistical fantasy viewpoint. I view it from, did the Chiefs win on Sunday? If they did, great. If they didn't, then we can sit here and yell and scream about them. But I think trying to find, you know, who the number one receiver is going to be is something that fantasy football players care about. And that's why when I saw this, the biggest unanswered question still facing the Chiefs, according to, I think it was Yardbarker, where they said, you know, who the number one receiver is going to be. I go, well, then you're viewing it from a fantasy football lens, because my still biggest unanswered question is who's playing defensive line this year? Because I still don't know the grouping of players that are going to be on the defensive line. I think the better question, though, if you want to talk about the wide receiver, should be who will become the wide receiver Mahomes will trust most in 2022? Because I don't think that guy right now, who he's going to trust, he's got to be on the roster. But I don't know if Mahomes knows who that is, and I don't know if that guy knows who he is yet. The one thing that they never
Travis Kelce.
Well, I'm speaking of the wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm speaking of the wide receivers, because I think the one thing that they lost that they never truly replaced was the connection that Mahomes had with Sammy Watkins. And I know people can sit here and bemoan about Sammy Watkins all they want. When they needed a reception, when they needed a play, when they needed a moment, Sammy Watkins was there for Patrick Mahomes. 3rd and 8, boom, Sammy Watkins gets you 9 first down. Play in the Super Bowl, boom, there's Sammy Watkins. Play at the end of the AFC Championship game, there's Sammy Watkins. Like, he was a security blanket and somebody that Patrick Mahomes truly trusted. You can say what you want about his production, and he never lived up to it. He's never lived up to his billing anywhere, but he was always somebody that was there when healthy that Patrick Mahomes knew that he could count on late in the game. And that's what I'm looking for out of this wide receiver core. We're not going to know who the number one guy truly is. There's going to be, you know, balls distributed to everybody in that offense. Everybody's going to kind of get their hands on the ball and have an opportunity to make plays, right? But by the time we get late into the season, when we get down towards the postseason, I want to be able to look at you, other than Travis Kelce, obviously, and say, that's the guy that Patrick Mahomes trusts in late-game situations. I'm hoping if it's MVS, he's got a couple of years, you know, that he's going to be here in Kansas City. I'd like to see him be that guy. Doesn't have to be the flashiest, doesn't have to be the fastest, doesn't have to be the most talented, but I want to know who's going to emerge as the guy that Patrick Mahomes truly trusts when it comes down to crunch time. And that's who I want to see emerge this year. I don't need a number one wide receiver.
Because there was production last year, certainly, right, with Tyreek Hill. Career year for him as well.
Sure.
But he also was pretty reliable in the third down category, right? Mm-hmm. Who does Patrick Mahomes find on third down? So you have to replace that as much as he is, I think.
Yeah.
The
speed,
the quantity of what Tyreek Hill gave you. I'm not as concerned about how to spread the wealth and get production.
And I'm not concerned about who's going to get fed either.
But I think a valid question is, yeah, who does he truly look for?
Yeah. Who do you go after?
And it might not be anyone outside of Kelce.
Right.
Who knows?
May not be, but I'd like to somebody emerge where you can definitively say, yeah, like, that's my kind of goal this year. And my goal, my guy that I'm going to earmark for that is MVS. I'd like to see him become the new Sammy Watkins that you can rely on. Everybody else is going to get catches. Everybody else is going to be a part of this offense. They're going to put up great numbers. Who do you rely on third downs?
Speaking of receivers, an impromptu, should he come to Kansas City? ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reporting on SportsCenter yesterday that Deebo Samuel still has not rescinded his trade request.
Uh-oh.
He still wants to be dealt by the 49ers, who remain optimistic that they can still sign him to a long-term contract. But is he out the door? Like, that's always a valid question to me. Like, you can throw money and whatever, but is he just made his decision? He doesn't want to be there. Now, look, I think some of his...
At
least alleged issues seem ridiculous when you look at his numbers. And I don't know how anybody could have more effectively used him last year than he was being used last year, right?
I know. He was
so
good.
So you're like, I don't know what your complaint is here. But who knows? Tyreek Hill had complaints too. I get his numbers and I go, I don't understand why you thought you weren't being handled correctly.
There was one guy in the NFL who shouldn't be complaining about anything. It should have been Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. So
he tends to forget this organization stood up for him.
Sometimes the situation looks great on the outside, and for some whatever reason, personally, it's not going to work. So would you be interested in Deebo Samuel?
100%. Don't even have to think about it. He's on his rookie deal. He's 26 years old. I wouldn't give up the haul, I don't think, that they got for Hill, but I would start with this year's first-round pick or next year's first-round draft pick. It's going to be 32. I mean, they're going to have to take it because it's going to be, where it is. But I would I would 100% be in on Deebo Samuel. I like him as a player. And then we can finally have the answer to everybody's question, who's going to be your number one target, right? Deebo Samuel, that's your guy. So to please that crowd, cool. But also, he's a great football player, and he's 26 years old. I think that's the guy you would target and should target. Whether they will or not, I don't know, but I'd be all over that thing if I was them.
I actually wouldn't.
Why?
I don't think they need it.
Okay, fair. All right.
I think they're big. I still think they're going to be bigger fish to fry at the end of this year than loading up on the offense. They're going to be the same boat they were this past season.
There were bigger fish to fry this offseason.
Which is finding more defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Help. And that sometimes requires some big bucks.
Sure it does. Yeah.
That I feel like... I feel like that when Tyreek Hill didn't sign, they went, whew, or whatever were offering.
Yes.
I got this. I don't know what it is. I feel like they got this great sigh of relief.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we don't have to spend this money. Awesome. I just feel like maybe they won't jump back in that pool so fast.
Maybe not. But for a 26-year-old, it's different than a 28-year-old.
It is. At that position, though, I just feel like they're like, well, why get back into that market? We can do so many other things. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to need to do so many other things. This offense is going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the defensive line is going to be fine. I don't know if they have enough there. And I'm allocating free agent, draft, defensive side.
Right.
I've gotten you enough toys over there, man. Like, I've gotten you enough pieces. Got the quarterback.
You're making a good case.
Buzz the football around. Do what you got to do over there. You're going to have to pay an offensive lineman, too. I'm like, I just don't think I'd pay a wide receiver right now. Yeah. I don't think that they need it more than they need to continue to build on the defensive side moving forward.
You're making really good points, and you're doing a good job of convincing me. Maybe I would stay away from that. And then KC Kurt weighs in on the text line. I'd rather see the Chiefs keep the first-round pick with the draft being in KC next spring.
That's
totally
true.
Forgot about that.
That's
one.
True, too.
Can't not have a first-round pick, right?
Yeah, we could. Could. Didn't the Raiders do it? Didn't the Raiders do it this past year? They didn't have a first-round pick, right?
Yeah.
They still reap the benefits of having the draft in their hometown.
Yeah.
I think it was probably
I understand
fine.
What he's saying. You want to go down there on that Thursday night and see the Chiefs make a pick,
I got
right?
It. Yeah. Defensive end. Yes, yeah. I do.
Or defensive tackle.
Yes.
I'm good with that.
I'm all for my way too early draft.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman.
Who?
So
anybody.
I don't know. Any mock draft I open up that says Chiefs 32 and selecting a defensive lineman, I'm in on.
I like that mock draft.
I'm thumbs upping on those.
I think you did a pretty good job. Even like me, who's very hesitant on making these type of moves, and going out there.
I'm surprised
making
you
trades.
Would offensively because you have so much faith in Mahomes just
do,
to do whatever that you would feel the need to allocate him any more stuff.
He's just a unique type of player, though.
I mean, I don't want to forget about him. I don't want to forget about him and not give enough to the offense. But I think I can't point the finger at them this year and go, you guys didn't do enough offensively.
Yeah.
I think they did. I think they did plenty offensively.
They did.
They got a running back, two receivers,
yeah.
Drafted a third receiver. Like, I can't ask you to do any more along the offense. Okay. Now back to the defense.
Right.
And figure out if you're quite there yet, because I do have my concerns up front if they're there yet.
Yeah, it's a fair point. But this guy, he's just so good and could really solidify for the next four years.
He'd be good
so,
in this offense, you know? Too, I think.
Yeah, I think he'd be really good in this offense, too. And if you're going to graduate Juju after this year and McColl after this year, you know we're going to be having those same conversations again. What do you do with a wide receiver? But if you had Deebo Samuel in the mix and Sky Moore took off this year and became a really good player like that guy on CBS Sports wanted, and then another year with MVS on your roster, that's a pretty good threesome. And then Travis Kelce added in the mix as well. Get the makings.
That's not even forgetting all the name guys that people have fallen in love with on this roster.
There's like
Justin
18
Rosses
wide receivers.
World, Josh Gordon fan clubs.
Is that guy still a thing?
Yeah. Apparently.
And then I'm sure that gambling guy will be a free agent at the end of the year. Maybe the Chiefs will look to sign.
There you go.
They give guys reclamation projects all the time, right?
There you go. Options are endless. Yeah. Options are endless. Speaking of options, we can only hope the Chiefs take us up on some of our options for them. We'll discuss next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 to hear from Royals skipper Mike Matheny on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
We had a little brainstorming session earlier in the show. You can weigh in at 913-586-7610. There was a story posted about the ability to wear now throwback uniforms and helmets in 2022, and we lamented a little bit that Chiefs don't really have one. Like, their only throwback is the Dallas Texans, so they may wear the Dallas Texans helmet for the first time since 2009. Or they might not.
Right.
But they don't really have any kind of throwbacks or really any kind of alternative jerseys. I mean, we freak out every time they go, oh my gosh, we're going to put the white shirts with the white pants or the red shirts with the red pants. Oh my goodness. It's like, I don't know if we're just not that fashion forward or what, but it feels like that's a major leap. And we're like, cool.
There's no option for us though.
But there's nothing to go to.
Right.
And so you can weigh in on what you'd like to see the Chiefs do. I'd like a little bit of an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, I've always liked...
I mean, we lose our minds over a gray face mask.
I like the look. The red, to me, has been too red. It's too bright, too tomato-y for me. But every time I see, like, a mock-up, I hate them.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, every time those mock-ups come out, I'm like, nope, I don't like it. I don't like it. Nope, I don't like it. So I guess I like the current Chiefs jerseys. And I like the current makeup because I haven't found an alternative. Because if you skew too far, you turn into other teams. You look like the Falcons, or maybe you look like the Cardinals. You feel like they've been there, done that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I don't skew that direction because you're just copying the look of another team. But a lot of the mocks I've never liked. But they could go to the Texans helmet this year, which again, it's the state of Texas, which I know it's their history, but it's not even close to their now.
Right.
And the only case I can make is Mahomes came from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to put that on the side and just pay homage to getting Mahomes, I'm cool with that.
But yeah, that's good. That's good. There's a lot of good suggestions we took earlier in the show. We had a white helmet with the Chiefs logo and a red face mask I thought looked really good. Somebody suggested gray Chiefs uniforms and a black matte helmet to go along with it.
I could do that. I think
that would look kind of cool. I'd still like to see a mock-up of that. I would also like to see, in my opinion, the black matte helmet with the Chiefs logo, like the hat that B-Dub's wearing today and how cool that looks. But I would also remove the yellow out of their uniforms. I don't know what purpose the yellow truly serves in the uniforms. I know it is, but I don't like it. It looks like Ronald McDonald. Like, so take the yellow out of the uniform and just go with the red and the white. And maybe if you wanted to replace the yellow and have a third color, maybe you make that the black, you know, and you outline everything where the yellow is in black, or you just bail on it altogether and just go with the red and white uniforms and have a black matte helmet to mix in. The problem is they're classic uniforms. It would be like, okay, the Yankees are changing their uniforms now. Whoa, 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 whoa. What are you going to do that's different? Then you can't change the pinstripes, right? And I think we're in that spot with the Chiefs where you can't drastically change it. But I would also like to I feel jealous when I see Tampa Bay going back to the creamsicle, or when you see the Patriots going back to Pat the Patriot, and you see the Eagles using their old Kelly Green uniforms. Like, I'm kind of jealous of that. I wish we had something different that we could revert back to. Even the Broncos, if they go back to the Orange Crush, they've got something different, you know, that they can revert back to. I wish the Chiefs had something that they could revert back to. And one of the texts that I really, 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 really liked online was that, what if the NFL goes to the City Connect jerseys like they did for baseball? Because baseball's Nike now, right? The City Connect is their thing. The NFL's Nike. They could potentially do a City Connect jersey, and that's when we came up with doing all powder blues for the Chiefs. Powder blue jerseys, powder blue pants, and like the Royal Blue helmet or the City Connect blue helmet for the Kansas City Chiefs for a game. That would be pretty cool if they did something like that. But I just wish we had that alternative jersey that we could all look at and go, yeah, I like that one. I wish we could roll that one out more often. We just don't have that.
No, we don't. And I understand a lot of the throwbacks are cool because they are old and they harken back to whatever.
Sure.
And the only thing you have to go back to is not in state.
Right. Yeah. You
but
can't
I would
have the state of Texas.
Rather than a throwback, I'd like an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
A cool alternate jersey. Just every once in a while.
Right.
I was really hopeful when they went to the color rush. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That was an uncomfortable position Nike was putting everybody in, right? It seemingly is that.
Sure.
Oh, we're going to put these teams in this uncomfortable position having to change their uniforms that they play on a Thursday night game. And the Chiefs come on like white on white. Wait a minute here. They like circumvented this whole thing. That's not a color rush.
Where's the rush?
I want something Tuesday. I want something a little bold. It's in your face a little bit. So, I'd like a cool alternate jersey.
But I think also,
you're never going to don't have a good throwback. Give me a good alternate though.
Mm-hmm. A good alternate. Would you go with gold though? Would you go with black? Would you go with gray? I think those are the three options. I still really like the City Connect going with the powder blue for the Chiefs. Just have something totally different and totally out there. I mean, they did it with the Boston Red Sox jerseys, right? They went completely out of whack with them for the City Connect. With the Chiefs, the Royals, they went completely different with their City Connect jerseys. Same thing with the Colorado Rockies. I mean, you look at a lot of these City Connect jerseys, they're completely different than what their uniforms truly are. And maybe you do something like that with the NFL where you do City Connects and you do things that are kind of out of the ordinary just to change some things up a little bit for what we have right now. I would appreciate something like that. I wouldn't go all yellow, I don't think. But I would remove the yellow and go more of a red and white combination with a black helmet. I think that would ultimately, in my opinion, look really, really good for these uniforms, and it would give us something different. You know, you need something different every once in a while. Shake it up a little bit.
913-586-7610 on the text line. You can weigh in. I just haven't liked a lot of the mocks that I've seen that have ever been done. So I guess I do have to like step back and go, I guess I like them. I guess I like what they've done. I guess some of it makes sense. But give me something. Give me something a little
bit. Like, I just don't want to get excited over a gray face mask. That's lame.
No.
That shouldn't be our highlight.
Or a tweaking of the socks.
Yeah, the socks.
It's not the same. It's not, no.
I will give the Hunts, you know, a little bit of credit here on this one. And I say a little bit. I mean a lot of credit. It's their dad's team, man. And this is what he wanted. And they're still following what their dad wanted, which I think is kind of cool. How many other organizations are like, well, Pops created this 60 years ago. We're sticking with it. I mean, it's why they didn't change the orange seats for the longest time at Arrowhead, because they were there when Arrowhead first opened. And Lamar's like, I kind of like the orange, even though I think they were ordered by mistake, right?
Yeah.
And so they just kept them there. Then they finally changed them and got rid of the orange because it just didn't make any sense anymore. But a lot of the stuff they do is because Lamar wanted it that way. And the man founded the freaking league, for God's sakes. So if that's how Dad wanted it, that's how we're going to do it.
No, there's tradition and history, and all of it is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But just give us an alternative.
Just a little bit.
But yeah, just give us something a little bit different, right?
Just a little something on a Monday night or a Sunday night.
I think the all gray would look pretty cool.
Break out all blacks with a red trim. That's
all,
it.
All gray with red numbers. Ooh. That would look nice.
I mean, I wouldn't, if they came out in that color rush, you know, the color rush game and wore yellow, I'd have freaked. I think it'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know it's not all
could
the time.
Could you hit anybody though? Because yellow signifies you can't hit that player.
Oh, I don't know. I think give me bright and bold would be fun. But I could do the gray. I think the gray would be a good compromise that they wouldn't feel was too far out of line.
How often do you think Nike calls the Chiefs and is like, "Come on"?
They're like, "Nope, not Click. Interested. Not
Come
interested.
On!
Nope, got this Micah for you. Nope, nope."
Have you even opened the email we sent yet?
Nope.
No, we're not interested.
Nope.
Come on.
Not doing it. Not doing it.
Like Nike's got to be like, just, all right, fine. You're not doing it.
You guys win. Whatever.
Yeah. We'll streamline the number or something.
I hope if Bart Scott were asked this question today and he were playing, his answer would be Patrick Mahomes. But he was asked about his playing days, who he feared the most, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady.
For me, like, I'd much rather go against Tom Brady every day of the week than to go against
Peyton Manning. That's how you feel.
I believe that's how everybody feels.
Interesting. I like
that. Like, in the heyday, you never, ever have I said,
let's also point out,
I'm so afraid of Tom Brady.
That Bart Scott faced both men in the playoffs.
And you beat both of them.
You beat both, but you also lost to both.
Yeah,
So you know what, I'm just saying, you understand this better than anybody.
I lost as a number one seed to Peyton Manning.
That's right.
You know, with the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
So it's like Peyton Manning gives you a total sense, a different set of anxiety. Like, you have anxiety. Like, you sleep at night like, damn.
Give me Tom Brady any day of the week because Peyton Manning scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I hope if it was today's linebacker being asked, they'd say, Patrick Mahomes any day of the week. I don't want to face him at any point. Give me anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to not face Patrick Mahomes. I think you get a few Josh Allen answers probably there as well. His ability to kind of devastate you with the run game.
Sure.
But I hope the answer is Mahomes.
I think it should be Mahomes. I don't think there's anybody else that you can really put in that category of who gives you anxiety when you're thinking about playing him. Yeah, Josh Allen's good. Yeah, Justin Herbert has shown that he can be a good player, can't overcome his coach's idiocy on the sidelines, but good football player. A lot of good quarterbacks out there right now. But nobody in this league right now should give you the anxiety that Patrick Mahomes gives you.
Lamar for you?
And Lamar would be number two probably on my list. You know how much I feel about Lamar Jackson, but he still makes some mistakes here and there and still hasn't really proven that he could win, you know, in the postseason. Patrick has proven that he can win in the postseason. So I just think with the way that Patrick Mahomes takes a play that everybody feels is over and continues to keep it alive better than anybody I've ever seen, that's why you should have anxiety over Patrick Mahomes, because when a play looks like it's dead and there's nobody open and there's not going to be anything there, Patrick Mahomes finds a way to keep that play alive and to make a play. And there aren't many guys in the history of this league that have that kind of ability that Patrick Mahomes has of keeping plays alive and making you feel like you've won, but ultimately making you pay and you lost. I mean, that's just the way he is. I mean, when you got a quarterback like that out there that's playing like that and ripping your heart out and you know, ripping your head off and pooping down your neck, how do you not have anxiety over that guy?
So we've had a rip the heart out and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And now pooping down somebody's neck?
That's right.
Okay. I think Josh Allen would be the only other case I could make. And it's his ability to throw the ball as hard as he does, and he's obviously improved his accuracy too, but his arm strength plus the ability to run would be the only one that'd be like,
yeah,
man, that's gut-wrenching. But in terms of like clutchness and everything you've seen so far of Patrick Mahomes, how could you not have that at the top of your list saying, I mean, all he needed was 13 seconds before.
That's the other thing.
He gutted me.
I mean, like, this guy can get the job done in 13 seconds. Usually you're not bragging about that, but, I mean, 13 seconds on the clock.
Get the job done, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. But 13 seconds on the clock, find me another quarterback who can do what Patrick Mahomes did. It's not happening on anybody else.
No.
Nobody. Not Manning. Not Tom.
But I do understand where he's coming from, too, because I understand Tom Brady is the winningest quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a bunch of, and he's a leading passer in the NFL, for goodness sakes, last season even. But Peyton Manning scared you more.
I think if there was a legit draft and you had to choose either Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, I would think the majority would choose Peyton Manning. If Peyton Manning played for the Patriots, think about how many championships he'd have, right? Because that defense was always good. Tom is great. I'm not going to sit here and debate the greatness of Tom Brady.
Who scares you more?
But Peyton would scare you more. Yeah, Peyton did. Peyton was scary.
And maybe that's a disservice to Tom Brady a little bit, but Peyton would scare you more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom kind of scares you now.
All right, Dub. The time is nigh. B-Dub's summer shape-up continues as he is losing weight, beating the Royals' win total, which we did at the beginning of the year, optimistic that the Royals could win like, you know, 90 games or so and make this a race. But it's 26 wins right now, and you've been crushing that number.
Yeah, and we had a good week last week. We started intermittent fasting, so I only eat from 6 in the morning to noon every day, and that's it.
How's that doing for you?
So far, so good.
Is it? Like, what's it like from noon to 6 a.m.?
That's the good the good part is it's when we see you. So right. We haven't dealt with the after effect of he's eating when we see you. Yeah, that's good.
Usually in the evening about 7 o'clock after making dinner for everybody. That becomes a little bit difficult, but, you know, so far sticking to it. Had a great workout.
You can't even taste what you're making for because you're supposed to when you're making food, you're supposed to taste it. Make sure it's okay. You're not even doing that.
So we're working good on that. Had a great workout on Saturday, got 6 miles in, burned over 5,000 active calories. So
wow.
Starting to kick butt, take it up another notch. Got the pool workout going, the water fitness is going, plus the regular.
What are you, 90?
Hey, got to get in where you fit in, right?
That's true. Yeah.
So as of right now, when I sauntered down the stairs this morning at 3:30, 4 o'clock, I was at a robust 390 pounds.
Nice.
Wow, look at you.
9-0. Can you see it? It's starting to, that belly is starting to go bye-bye.
You starting to feel better?
Oh, absolutely,
you
man.
You can tell the difference, right?
My conditioning is starting to get better.
35 pounds down?
Yeah.
All right. So you're well ahead of the Royals' pace still.
How many wins do they
26.
Have?
26.
How many losses?
45?
We're not.
They're 26 and 45, right? They're 19 under.
Do you want to switch it up?
So I may
you have
to
lose
start.
More weight than the Royals lose games?
We may have to do something.
So you're behind that pace. You're 45.
So I need to kick it up another notch.
Give it another notch, keep up their loss total. But we were optimistic to start this thing.
Yes. We wanted them to be successful. It's going to be a good race. They were going to win 90 games, and I was going to lose 100, you know, pounds. But may have to all go right. The other direction.
So with this intermittent fasting, can you eat what you want for those 6 hours? Doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, I can eat what I want, but I'm still trying to do right. I'm still trying to get my vegetables in, get my gallon of water in every day.
Can you drink water afternoon? You can drink it.
Yeah. I can drink water and caffeine the rest of the day or Gatorade.
Yeah.
But yeah, after afternoon, it's a wrap.
How long are you doing that for?
I'm going to try to do this for the next 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And then go off of it for a little bit and then go back. Yeah. And some people do it. I started off pretty high at the, you know, fasting for 18 hours. Some people are fasting for 20 hours.
No way. Yeah. See, I thought it was like 12 hours.
Yeah, the intermittent doesn't really kick in until after 16 hours. So
You got to really feel it. You got to feel the burn.
You got to feel it. Need some damn food. Hey, if I double bird the windows, will somebody bring us a Casey's pizza or something?
Yeah, they will.
That'd be good.
Speaking of that, did you see there's opening a Casey's without a gas station on Metcalf?
I did see that.
Heard there's one that opened in Minnesota that didn't have pizza, though.
There appears to be a Casey's without the fuel pump.
On Metcalf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like right by downtown Overland Park.
Downtown
yeah.
Overland Park. It's a first. Like it looks like there's apartments above,
right?
And like a first, you know, the first floor businesses or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Casey's right. sign there, so I'm like, ooh. They're just going to rely on convenience store and pizzas. I'm like, brilliant.
I hope they have the pizza though. I heard the one in Minnesota didn't have
the
pizza.
I don't know how you could do it without the pizza. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's the issue. Why bother if you're not going to have the pizza?
Yeah, I guess because they might need a convenience store in that area. I don't know. But no gas, which is kind of wild.
Quick Trip's right there, though. If you need a Snickers,
I guess it is.
That bad.
It's down, I mean, sound a little further in it. Yeah.
I mean, my God, we live in Kansas City. Everybody has six cars.
That's like eight blocks.
And nobody wants to walk that far around here, especially in the summer. Hope they have pizza.
So do you race now to get a meal in before noon? I'm like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
that'd be the hard part.
Whenever we're done with our meeting at, you know, close to 11 o'clock, boom, I'm hitting somewhere.
We need to wrap this up. We need to wrap this up, huh? All
right. Twin Mattresses, College and Indian Creek Parkway.
I know exactly where that is.
All right, get them out. Hey, it's dry today, too. Those are probably in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're just doing our service for you. If you missed any of the show today, our chat with Vern, Josh Verdier, our Royals Insider, and everything else we got to today, you can check it out, 610sports.com or the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download it for free. Cody and Gold are next on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.